Well, thank you for joining me. And let's just take a minute now. We'll pray. We'll pray for you and for that intention and that trial that you have in your life. I mean, every day there is something, isn't there? I don't care how great life is. You know, you can be in that sweet spot for a while, in the zone. And inevitably, something that comes up that challenges, you know, your faith, your health, your finances, your emotions, right? Your relationships. Life's filled with these tests. They really are. And we'll pray together. I think there's such an extraordinary power in this. Next week, and I really can't wait to pray, I think next Tuesday is actually the anniversary of the feast of the, not the feast, it's the anniversary of the day that St. Faustina received the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So I'll share with you some background on that. And I'd love you to share with me how, you know, the chaplet has changed your life or worked miracles in your life. In fact, I want to share a couple miracles, or answered prayers is perhaps a better way of putting it right now. And if you want to get in here, if you're new to Relevant Radio, you've been listening for a short time, you say, I hear you pray this prayer. I need prayer today, Drew. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I'll get you in. Patrick Alog is producing the show today. He's on my board. Maggie is taking a day. And he'll share your intentions on Twitter. So please follow us at Drew Mariani Show and then at Drew Mariani. Two great ways to follow me socially there. All right. And let me just share a couple things that came in. You know, we talk about how this prayer works for the missing, right? There was a man who went missing at the Minnesota State Fair a week ago, and a person called in. They requested prayers that this man be found, and he says, the man I requested prayers for, Drew, has been found, and just I want to thank God, and I want to thank you for praying. He was a 60-year-old man, became separated from his group at the fairgrounds, and no one knew what happened to him. He had just disappeared. He has been returned now safe. And I'm very grateful for the prayer. 6 days missing. So 6 days. And I often say this, this prayer is anointed. We have these miracles that take place for the missing, the kidnapped, those who are away, those who are lost. But I think even for conversion more than anything else, those who have lost their way, who have strayed from God, this is a prayer that brings them back into the loving embrace of the church. So let's pray for our loved ones who really need conversion. Another person said, hey, requested prayers for my brother's test to turn out. He battled cancer, Drew, for 4 years. I've got great news to report back. His latest tests show no evidence of disease. Prayer answered, exclamation point. He rechecks in January. I also requested prayers for a woman who was getting a pacemaker replaced. The previous procedure went well. So I just want to thank everyone for praying, and thank you for these prayers. Another person says, hey, a few months ago, you read a prayer request during the chaplet, and I just want to update you regarding my son who was incarcerated. I remember this attention. She says, at the time, I asked that he receive permission to have visits with his 2-year-old daughter. They hadn't seen each other in over a year. Well, guess what? Over a month ago, he was allowed to begin in-person visits with her. He gets to see her for 5 hours a week. I wish you could see how she runs across the visitation room and into the arms of her father when we get there. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and a thank you to all the prayer warriors. Warmest regards, Gene. Gene, I'm happy for you. I really am. You know, and that email there just really demonstrates that whether large or small, whether somebody's missing or somebody's battling cancer or someone's incarcerated, God finds ways to open doors, to resolve issues in ways that we cannot even imagine. Another person says, hey, I was praying that my son wouldn't move in with his girlfriend. Well, I prayed, and guess what? He decided to wait a year. I feel blessed. Jesus took pity on us and answered the prayer. Please thank, I want to thank Jesus and the prayer family. All right, well, you got it. Lots of others are coming in. I can share a few more. I see my phones are full, so maybe I can sneak an extra intention or two in. Today, I am praying with the producer of the Kale Clark Show and Timmer Show and Trending. James Schaefer joins me today. Hey, James, good to have you back.
Always good to be here, Drew.
Do you go by James or Jim? I call you Jim all the time. James, your mom calls James you James, right, when she gets mad?
I can't say that. No, she usually called me Jimmy, but James, but Jim is preferred. That's fine.
So often, sometimes when you get in trouble, they call you by your formal name, you know?
James Francis Schaefer Jr.
Yeah, I was Drew Joseph. Drew Joseph. Okay. I'm in trouble. Jim, anything you want to pray for?
Yeah, I just want to praise report. Thank God for my wife, Erin's continued health. She received her clear PET scan yesterday. She has one every 3 months, so very grateful for that. Also want to lift up my son, Sebastian, and daughter, Georgia, and all family and friends for their salvation and for nieces and nephews away from the church.
I'll join you in that. Just for a quick background for those who don't know your story. I know we prayed several times for your wife and for your family. How long has your wife been battling that? And you know, what kind of prayer do you want ongoing for her?
So yeah, just over 3 years, a little over 3 years in 2019. It was right after my son Sebastian had his first communion. She was diagnosed with stage 4 cervical cancer. Wow. And it metastasized to her lower left leg. And so for the next few months, some pretty intense radiation and chemo treatments. And of course, side effects from that, including shingles. And so she's been fighting that and battling that. And we went through, she went through several other treatment plans. But right now, she hasn't had any treatment in the last several months. But she continues to have health. And that the stomach issues that she had earlier in the year and late last year, that they stay away. That's the big prayer. She's been feeling great, going to the gym almost every day. So it's a beautiful thing. Due to all the prayers of our wonderful listeners and as well as your prayers, Drew, and everyone in the Relevant Radio family.
Well, brother, my heart goes out to you. I know how difficult it is. Not only to be a father and a good husband, when sickness affects a family like that, that's a heavy yoke, a big cross. So we're here for you. We'll pray for you today. I know a lot of people will remember you too. So we'll lift you up and we'll take your calls too. If you want to join us, I know the lines are full. You can always go to Twitter too, @DrewMariani, and send me your answer prayers to drew@relevantradio.com. Let me know how God is answering and giving you those miracles in your life. Let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today from is it Blanca listening in Chicago. Hi, Blanca.
Hi, Drew. I just want to thank you for everything you do. When you're not there, it's like something's missing, like a piece of the puzzle.
Oh,
thank you.
You got it.
I'm calling from myself. On Monday, I'm having a procedure, a colonoscopy, mm-hmm. and I just want everything to go okay, you know. And a friend of two people, Tony and Candelaria, have cancer. I'm also calling for them. And Ivan has problems with his heart. So I just want everybody to pray for us.
And you got it. You are covered in our prayers. I'm glad you got through. I know you were one of the first in line today. I saw you waiting. So we will lift up those procedures, especially for those two people who have cancer. But Lord, I give you Blanca and every one of these intentions. And I bring her to you today, the foot of your cross. And I bring also along with her those she mentioned and everyone today that is having procedures, who are awaiting tests, who have maladies of the body, who are seeking relief from pain and complete healing and restoration of health. So I ask that those channels of grace open, Today be a day of great healing and new beginnings. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Marianne in Plainfield, Illinois. Hi, Marianne.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. My request is urgent today for my nephew, Hammer. His formal name is Tim O'Connell. He was rushed for heart surgery yesterday, and he was again rushed recently back to surgery for another heart procedure. So please pray for him. We need a miracle. And I thank the Relevant Radio prayer warriors and for all those that are in the hospital right now, and for healing for my sister's family. They have great division. I thank you for all your prayers. God bless Relevant Radio listeners and you, Drew Mariani.
You got it, Marianne. Thank you for calling in. And, you know, today, maybe the Lord's going to be doing this. I mean, so many intentions for health. I do want to pray for those who have heart issues. I want to pray for my friend Doug, for my friend Jay. I want to pray for all those who are in critical condition right now, who need bypass surgery or angioplasties, or just need your healing touch, whatever the malady, whatever the ailment may be. And I just love these answered prayers when they come in, when doctors are saying, oh my gosh, the artery is blocked, or this person has two aneurysms that need surgery, and they disappear. God is good. God is merciful. And God can heal just as easily in this moment as he could 2,000 years ago. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I bring to you not just the body, but I give to you those who are divided. We're father against son, or mother against daughter, in-laws, neighbors, friends, siblings. And I ask that your mercy go in and heal those wounds and reunite and allow new beginnings. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before I go to Araceli in New York, let's go to Patrick. He is monitoring your intentions that are coming in on our Twitter account. And again, I am going to be leaving in about a month for the Holy Land. I just want you to know I'm going to be praying for you there. I'm going to maybe even try to give a couple updates, but I'm definitely going to be praying for your intentions for healing and for all the things that for conversion on Calvary, for your marriage. I'm going to be praying for you on that trip. Please pray for me too. If you can remember me in the days ahead, that would be important too. But send us your intentions in, because it's an honor really to pray for you and we want to do that. Patrick, what's coming in today? What are people asking for?
Actually, before Twitter, too, as well, Drew, a personal note. If you can all pray for the repose of the soul of my mom's brother, my uncle Romeo, who died in the Philippines a couple days ago. Ooh. Yeah, he died. It was sort of a surprise in our family. I mean, wow. He possibly had ALS, but then all of a sudden I heard that he just died a couple days ago. And my mom's traveling to see him, see the funeral in a couple of days. She was supposed to visit here to Illinois, but plans have changed. So, prayers for the repose for my late uncle. Off Twitter, Cheryl's praying for her father-in-law Gerald, who entered into hospice care last Wednesday. May he be able to have a peaceful death. Rob is praying for the conversion of his family. Stella is praying for her neighbor Juliet, who is in hospital with breathing complications. Esther is praying for Uncle Raul, who is very sick with pancreatic cancer. And Esther is also saying a prayer for all of us at Adoration. And Elsa is praying for her daughter, who is in a toxic relationship, and that relationship ends very soon.
Amen to that. Those are tough intentions. All right, we'll lift them up. We'll add Araceli to those who have sent those intentions. And Araceli, welcome. Good afternoon. She's listening in Queens, New York.
Good afternoon. Yes, thank you, Drew. I just want to request for prayers. I have a test tomorrow that I'm taking, and I've never been a good test taker. I freeze up. I can know the answer, but I always pick the wrong one. And this is rather important to me, and I really, really want to pass on this. And I'm praying for all those that are taking the test as well tomorrow. I also want to pray for your such intentions and those that didn't get through, and for my nephew, Stephen, that he leave that relationship that he's in and come home.
Yeah. So, Araceli, what time is your test tomorrow?
Tomorrow it's at 8 o'clock.
I'll try to remember you, okay, when I'm at Mass.
Thank you. You
hang in there. And look, I've got great stories. I can't share it now, but I know a man who had the same problem you did, you know, taking a test that he really needed to pass. And he prayed, and he swears he scored higher than anyone has ever scored on this test. He swears the Holy Spirit gave him the answers. And I believe the Lord can give you a recall, and he can allow you to make the right deductions and to solve those problems. So Lord, I pray for Araceli right now, and for anyone who has difficulty taking tests, anyone who's gone back to school now, to college or to school in any other capacity, grade school, high school, that they can be receptive, that their minds can be open, that they can find the methodology to learn, and that they can excel in those tests, Lord. And I pray for Araceli, every one of her intentions, all those that Patrick voiced, and all those united to me as we turn to you and pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Richard is in San Pablo, California. Hi, Richard. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm asking for prayers for Elizabeth Ann Howard out of Michigan. She is a sister of a Franciscan friar here in San Pablo, Father Anthony Howard. She's got later stages of cancer, and so I'm asking for prayers.
All right, well, thank you for that, Richard. I'm delighted you called. And we'll lift to give me your name one more time, if you don't mind. What's her name, sister?
Elizabeth Ann Howard. She's the sister of Father Anthony Howard here in San Pablo, California.
All right, I got it. I'm just jotting it down. I want to make sure I pray for it. Lord, I give you Richard, but I give you in particular Elizabeth. Again, cancer keeps coming up today. I ask you vanquish those cancerous cells, Lord. I ask you allow those who are taking chemo or radiation treatment or immunotherapy or whatever it may be that their bodies respond, that you bring about health and healing. And Lord, if you do it in a miraculous way, we're very grateful for that. But if it's through the natural, we thank you as well. I ask for those who you are asking to grow in holiness and sanctification through this process, that you give them those graces as well. And I just pray, Lord, for those with debilitating diseases. I want to pray for those with addiction. I want to pray for those who are incarcerated. I give you so many of the different problems and struggles that so many have. And I just turn with trust again, thanking you for your mercy. And I pray, Eternal Father, may I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next caller comes from Hayward, Wisconsin. Kate, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call, Drew.
You're welcome.
I admire and appreciate your compassion.
Thank you.
I'd like to lift up in prayer my coworker, Mary, who was just recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And I just pray that she grows in faith and trust and surrender in God's providence, and I lift up her family also, and she also has a brother and sister-in-law who are dealing with different types of cancer. So I pray for all those who are sick and suffering. And then I have one more intention for my brother-in-law, Mitch. He is a veteran, an Army veteran, and was in the 82nd Airborne Division and Delta Force, and he's having his 25th surgery on his battered body. So I just lift him up in prayer, and he's got a hardened heart. So I pray that he has a conversion of heart, because he's seen a lot of terrible things.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's rough. Well, we're grateful for the sacrifice he's made, both with his body and his commitment to the country, and we'll pray for him. I mean, God's so merciful. You know, the Lord says the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to his mercy, right? And that the one prayer he always hears and answers is that prayer of conversion. And I really do believe that this prayer is a powerful one for that. So I want to pray for this particular soul, Lord, and for all those who serve our country. I want to pray for our military, for our law enforcement, for our first responders, for our medical community. I want to pray for those who see sometimes the ugliness of life and man's inhumanity to man. I just ask that mercy be the balm, the ointment, the remedy to bring about the healing that these souls need. I pray for conversion. I know this prayer is heard. I'm grateful for it. So I really pray that the graces of conversion reach our loved ones and those most in need of it. And Kate called for this intention for cancer, and there's been so many of those today too. I just ask, Lord, that today cancer's defeated. Today you vanquish and heal and allow those tumors to disappear and those cancer cells just to be vanquished. And I just thank you for that, Lord. I give you these intentions. Teresa is praying in Illinois. We'll sneak her in here as well. Teresa, good afternoon.
Hi. I need prayers to get over COVID so I can return to my new job.
Okay.
And I'd also like to pray for Ukraine and Russia so that they can be protected from the global elite.
Well, Teresa, thank you for praying. We'll pray for, how long have you had COVID, by the way? Is this long COVID or just get it?
This is, I think, day 12.
All right, let's pray that you're back. All right, with full health and vigor. That's what we want, Lord. I'm grateful for Teresa and the fact that she has a job she can get back to. I do pray that all those who are battling COVID, who are in the fight with it now, those who have had long COVID, who've really suffered from it, that your healing touch embrace. I think today's a day of healing. That's the sense I'm getting, that God is really working today, bringing about healing. And Lord, I'm just so grateful for that. And I just ask you heal those who are really stepping out of that boat and walking on that water towards you, trusting you. We do pray for peace in the world. I pray for unity, for reconciliation between divided nations, Ukraine and Russia, between China, North Korea, Iran, all these hot pockets around the world, Lord, that there'll be peace among nations, that you protect us and the world from degeneration, from disaster, from disease and war. May your mercy extend, Lord. Do not shorten that time of mercy. Withhold that time of justice. Shower us in your mercy. That's what I pray. And I give you everyone who's on hold with me right now, all those who have written to me, all those who are united with me in prayer, all those who are crying out to you, who really need to feel your presence and see your love. I give you these souls as we pray, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jim, is that the 10th one or do I have one more?
One more.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Peter Claver,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Yes. Send us your intentions. Send us your answered prayers. God is at work, that's for sure. Hey, I got a couple emails regarding divine mercy. When I come back, I'll share one or two of those with you in particular. What about the Diary of St. Faustina? I never did get a chance to share that with you. So when we come back, we'll get into that. There's a lot more coming up in today's show, too. Always trying to give you a look at life you won't find anywhere else. I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society. Not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's another good bumper, Patrick. I like that one. Hey, it's good to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for praying with me. You know, this is kind of my favorite time of day. I love having great conversation, right? I like to look at life through the eyes of our faith, and like hanging out with you. It's always fun to just talk, right? But what I love about this time of day is we pray, and I often see these miracles that come in. And I've gotten a couple of emails. I saw a story. Maybe before I share the story, I'll give you a little context. I think it's hard to really believe in miracles if you have not experienced them or you haven't seen them. It takes a lot of great faith. And I probably am a man of weak faith, but God has fortified it. He has allowed me, as I've shared with you many times, to see food multiply, the multiplication phenomena. I've seen that. I have seen statues and paintings weep tears and tears of blood. I've tasted that. I've been present in the jungles when the Virgin Mary was appearing in apparition. You know, I've seen healing miracles, cancer disappear, aneurysms vanish. I mean, I've seen God's providence. So I'm a man of faith, and I know that God is in control of all things. God is above the laws of nature, and he can certainly suspend them. And when I see stories that come in the mainstream media, I thought, well, let me share this, because I like this one. There was a horrible fire, and it destroyed a historic church. A church went back, I think, 100 and went back to 1884. It was members of some church in Mississippi, and the members there were mourning, because fire just devastated, it consumed their historic sanctuary. But something happened, something unexplainable. In this historic church, that was a scene of complete devastation. A 180-year-old Bible somehow, some way, inexplicably survived. It endured the inferno, and it came out unscathed. Now, I saw this Bible. I saw the photo of it, and it really is, it's quite amazing. It really is. You know, in this church, the devastation was horrible. I mean, pews and pulpits and stained glass completely destroyed during just this tragic inferno, and it left the members of the community, of course, in pain and mourning. But, you know, I as a sign, I think, of God's love, you know, he shows that he's still in control. We don't understand the destruction, the devastation of our own life, right? The situations, the loss of the jobs, the tragedy, the accidents that happened, the suicide. We don't get that. And suffering is such a profound mystery, right? So is this type of thing. Why would God allow us like something to happen? But out of the midst of it, there's always that thread, that golden thread, you know, which can be woven with the hand of God. And shows that good can come out of this. This church in particular, they had a historic Bible. It dated back to the church's founding. It was handed down. It was preached on for generations, right? And there were inscriptions in this book in the margin telling part of the history. And somehow, some way, it survived. And you know, I think in that is a message. Because I remember hearing a story one night of a man, and it happened with the Divine Mercy Diary. And maybe before I share that story, I have received an email, and I'll connect this for you. A lady writes to me, and thank you for writing, by the way. She says, I'm a new listener to Relevant Radio. I've been listening to your show about a month, and before becoming a listener, I had very limited knowledge of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So, you know, I was extremely interested when you shared a little bit of the biography of St. Faustina that you provided on her birthday during the show. And, you know, I can only explain what happened yesterday evening as some sort of divine intervention, Drew. I was running errands after work, and I was drawn, she says, I was drawn to the Protestant thrift store. It was located right next to the grocery store. And even though I had, you know, no prior intentions of stopping there last night, there was something that pulled me in. You know, I've been to the store many times. I've never pursued their book section. Yesterday, I did. And imagine my complete surprise when the first book I spotted was The Diary of St. Faustina on her birthday, and it was in a Protestant thrift store, no less. Of course, I had to purchase it as I felt there was a reason I was drawn to that store and to that book, not to mention you had piqued my interest in St. Faustina. I want to thank you and all of Relevant Radio for what you do. I've been a lifelong Catholic, but I feel like I've learned more about my faith in the past month than I did in the previous 57 years of life. May God bless you, and congratulations. God is at work in your life. Grace is flowing. He's drawing you into a closer relationship with him, and I think divine mercy will enrich your life. It's to my great chagrin, to my sadness, that I don't have any more books that I wrote on Divine Mercy, and I don't think they're going to be printed for quite a while. But if you can get a hold of the book that I wrote on Divine Mercy, it will really unpack for you the beauty of this devotion, how God has worked, the promises he's given, what it means for our times, the prophecies that Faustina had, and so much more. It's a wonderful book. Just maybe do a search somewhere, Divine Mercy, Drew Mariani, and maybe you'll find one. All right, maybe some people were selling them on Amazon for like $40. I gave these away free, so yeah, I know. Somebody said, "Oh, someone's selling your book online or asking $40 for it." Well, that's because you can't get it. I guess it's supply and demand, right? Anyway, try to track that book down. If not, read the diary. The diary's a little harder to read because of the way it was written. Faustina recorded all of these revelations from Jesus when he appeared to her. Her spiritual director, Blessed Michael Sopochko, told her to record all of these, and he was a great theologian. And one day he went on a trip, and an angel appeared to her. It told her to burn the diary. For her own humility, she should burn this diary, right? It wasn't an angel. Well, I guess it was an angel, but it was a fallen angel. It was not an angel of light. And it took Blessed Sapochko to recognize that. And he then told her she needs to write down everything that was in that first diary. And, you know, I often think, gosh, what did we lose? And somebody once said to me, Drew, I don't think you probably lost anything. He says, if anything, maybe it's part of God's divine will. You know, maybe there's a reason for what is written the way it is now written. You know, and I always love that. I'll share one final diary story with you here. It's a great one. We talk about Bible surviving in fires. I don't know how many of you know of the canons. Canon Tallarico has been on my program many times. The Institute of Christ the King. I went to his church after it burned down. And just like the diary in that church in Mississippi, there was an image of Christ the King, a statue of Christ the King. His church, I walked through the ash of this church, you know, the charred remains of this church. For some reason, God had divine protection around this image of the Christ child. And they're now rebuilding that church, and I'm sure it's going to be magnificent. There was a man named Brendan O'Neill. He was a very successful businessman who came from a very religious family. And his mother always had great devotion to divine mercy and was a great friend of another priest who promoted devotion to divine mercy in Ireland. And Brendan never really had a whole lot of time for religious life. You know, life gets busy, work, family, friends, golf, whatever, right? I mean, his life was busy. But he heard about the divine mercy devotion. Maybe your spouse has done the same thing. They're not really tuned into it, but they've heard of it. So from time to time, he found himself actually praying to St. Faustina to intercede for different matters. And I think this is really important. St. Faustina is a powerful intercessor. She promised after her death, her mission would only just begin. I turned to her a lot. I was praying to her, asking for her intercession last night. So he received a gift. Somebody gave him a diary of St. Faustina. And if you see the diary of St. Faustina, it's hard to read. I'll be honest with you. It's, you know, you got to read it in small bites, right? And, you know, he intended to read it when he had time, but he never really got around to reading. And he lived in the western part of Ireland. But his business affairs meant he had to travel a lot. So he put the diary in his car, and he figures, yeah, I get to my hotel room one night. Maybe I'll open it. Maybe I'll page through this thing and maybe read a couple chapters of it. But it never seemed to happen. And he was always looking for, you know, some documents or, you know, some other night when he'd connect. And, you know, it just never happened. So one day he was in Dublin. And his car got stolen, right? Got stolen with the diary of St. Faustina and his overnight bag that was in it. Had a lot of personal items, personal papers in it. So beside his bag, he had his golf clubs and his golf apparel and all this different stuff. So everything was gone, all right? And when Brendan was first given the diary, just as a side note, for some reason, he couldn't explain it. He decided to put his name on the inside cover. You know, I get books, I never put my name on the inside cover. You know, I'm not in grade school anymore or high school or college where you had to do that maybe, but he put his name on it. Well, the car's now missing. Police get involved. 3 days later, a man the same man that had from the town as Brendan had been living in Dublin for a time. He called Brendan to say that, hey, your bag had been thrown into the back of his garden. The only problem is that, you know, it was that the bag, you know, the only thing in the bag was a book and it had your name on it. The book, of course, was the diary. But the extraordinary thing was that this estate of hundreds of houses, this house was chosen by the thieves to dispose of the bag. And the only man in the whole estate who knew who Brendan was. Well, Brendan got the bag with the diary in it. He vowed to read it. He felt he's got to read it now. It must be a sign from God. But what happened? Well, like all of us, life gets in the way. He doesn't read the diary. And business intervenes again. And the diary's left in his car with the intention of reading it. Never happened. One night he parked in a public park, you know, public parking lot, I should say. And when he returned to his car, it had been stolen for the second time, right? I mean, your car gets stolen twice. I mean, what are the odds of that? So he reports to the police. Some days later, they call and they say, hey, guess what? We found your car, but we got bad news for you. The car has been torched. It has been completely burned. So not only was the car this cinder, right, this charred piece of metal, everything that was in it, the seats, the carpet, everything, just burned to a cinder as well, except for one item. and you probably know what it was, to the amazement, to the shock. Really, it was almost unbelievable. They found a book on the seat that had not a bit of ash on it. Nothing in the car was recognizable, but this book somehow, some way, survived. That book was the Diary of St. Faustina. Yes, it was burned on the edges, which meant it had caught fire like everything else, right? I mean, the car, everything was gone. It was nothing but metal. And yet this diary that was placed on the very seat where he left it charred the edges of this book, but the fire never reached the text, which really was the message of divine mercy. You know, Brendan stared at the burned wreck, you know, and he thought he heard these words, the very words that Jesus said to St. Faustina when he challenged her to abandon the life she was living and enter religious life. Brendan says, I thought I heard the words, how long are you going to keep me waiting? That's what the Lord said to Faustina. How long will I put up with you? Today, Brendan, like St. Faustina, is a great apostle of divine mercy. He's spreading the devotion. He buys books of diaries at a time. Needless to say, he has read them, and he gives them out wherever he feels he's needed. Let me leave it on that. You know, I should actually post. I don't have them with me here, but I should post the picture of the burned out car with the page and the picture of Brendan's signature. Let me take a short pause because I had to do that. When we come back, we will talk more. I just want to share that with you. I want to share some of those emails that have come in because I just want you to know God's in control of everything. He can provide protection and he can bring healing and he ultimately brings good out of every situation. When I return, Eric Scheidler is going to be stopping by. We're going to talk about the metaverse a little bit later. We'll even talk about why Gen Z millennials are reluctant to become parents. So we got a lot in store. Stay with me. The conversation continues.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's a good bumper. That's another great bumper, Patrick and John. Good to be with you today. Hey, thanks for joining me. You're welcome to dial in anytime here. 888-914-9149. If you want to share the story you just heard or you want to revisit any of the content you might have caught part of today on the show, just go to my podcast. You'll find them at relevantradio.com. Do a keyword search for my name, The Drew Mariani Show, or podcasts are found, and share them with others. Share them with others. Hey, I want to put on your radar something I think is pretty important tomorrow. And I know ever since the Dobbs decision and the fall of Roe, people feel like, oh, we're getting a lot of pro-life conversation. I think it's really important right now because now's more than ever we got to put the pedal to the metal, right? Tomorrow, pro-lifers are going to gather in cemeteries. You heard me. In cemeteries all across the country for the National Day of Remembrance for aborted victims. And look, this isn't just remembering those children who have lost their lives in the womb, but there are tens of millions of those. But the day's also going to remember the many mothers who lost their lives to abortion. That's not often spoken about. It's something I think that's quite often overlooked. And even if you zoom out a little bit further, think about, and I know you might have gone through this, maybe you've had an abortion, maybe it was your sister, maybe it was somebody you know. There's been a lot of destroyed relationships, a lot of lost relationships that have happened because of abortion. Fathers, siblings, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, future friends, coworkers, think about it. All of those relationships have been permanently marred by the loss of these unborn children. So there can never be, contrary to what Hollywood or the culture wants you to think, a good abortion. I'm joined today by Eric Scheidler. He's the executive director of Pro-Life Action League. Great group. They've been on the front lines forever. You know, they've been battling for life in this country for as long as I can remember. And Eric is a very gifted speaker and a great pro-life activist. And you can check him and his organization out at prolifeaction.org. Pro-life Action. Eric, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Drew, it's so great to be with you, you know. And it's I think it's maybe providential that this is the 10th annual National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. Way back in 2013 when we had our very first one, when Monica Miller and Father Frank Provone and I got together to organize this event for the first time all around the country. You know, back then we only knew of about 24 burial places of these abortion victims, the fetal remains that had been recovered in one way or another and given a proper burial. And through the process of that first year, we discovered another two dozen. We had 50 by the time we were done that year, and we had all these services there and other memorial markers for these children. And we knew we had to do it again and make it a regular thing. But back then, who would have thought? Very few people were aware that Roe v. Wade was so close to being overturned. I mean, I wouldn't have guessed it would have been that decade or the next, or even maybe the next after that. And here we are, 2022, and we've had this incredible victory. And at the same time, we've had public opinion shift against us in this really dramatic way. Yeah. We've seen pushback. We've seen ballot initiatives going the wrong way. We're in real trouble in Michigan and other places. And so, you know, we have to do everything we can to shift the focus back to the real issue, which is the horrific, violent killing of these children, these precious, tiny, little, and admittedly funny-looking and strange and foreign. We don't know their names. We don't know whether they're boys or girls. And there's such a mystery to the child in the womb. It's so easy to, you know, demonize that child and cast it aside and not think of it as human. And yet we all know, especially as believers, as Catholics who pray, you know, blessed is the fruit of your womb. You know, the womb is a sacred place to us as Catholics. And so we understand it, you know, so clearly, but the rest of the culture is swinging against us. So this is an opportunity, of course, to put the focus on those children by going to their actual burial places where they're right beneath your feet. And tomorrow I will be at Queen of Heaven Cemetery in Hillside, Illinois, and I'll be standing at the grave of 2,033 tiny little children who were aborted early in pregnancy at abortion facilities in the Chicago area.
Boy, it's sad. I mean, even I hear you say that 2,000, and I know the number is far greater than that. How can people get information? How can they come out? What do they do? What's the, you know, they just pray? Do they stay? I mean, what happens at these events?
Well, you're going to hear every event is different because each of our leaders is working with their own local team. And, you know, some of the common themes will be hearing from women who've had abortions, talking about how horrible experience it proved to be and how much they regret it. And yet we're able to find God's healing mercy. Cause that's the other side of the story. Yeah. You know, we mourn, but Amen. Christ told us, blessed are them who mourn for they will be comforted. And this event is meant to be comforting. We'll have comforting hymns. We'll sing, hymns about these, you know, to these children or inspired by these children. We've had adoptive parents talk about that experience. Former abortionists have come to these events and talked about their conversion from being, you know, the facilitators of this violent death to repenting and now being outspoken pro-life advocates. So it's a whole range of different types of events, but all of them are united across the country in walking faithfully in belief that we will be comforted if we truly open our hearts to mourn for these children and to mourn for their mothers and to mourn for the futures they never had and to mourn for the children and grandchildren they never had and for all of it. Assured that we will be blessed and we will be comforted because that's truly what happens at these events.
Yeah, Eric, as you're saying, I'm thinking, what an excellent opportunity for parents, you know, to bring their high school daughters, their young children, and make this a teaching moment. I mean, come out, represent life, pray for those who've gone before us, pray for the wounded that continue on as a result of the scourge of abortion. But what an opportunity to hear a mother or a former abortionist or somebody share these stories. It can be life-changing, and it can actually save that future grandchild of yours or that future life. We don't know what's going to happen. We've got just a few minutes, and again, the website for this, I want to make sure I give the right one, I know you have yours, but is it nationaldayofremembrance.org? Is that the best way to get connected? Do people want more info?
That's right, nationaldayofremembrance.org. You click on the locations button, you'll be able to find if there's a service near you, and go and attend and be a part of this moment where we're trying to invite the rest of our culture to look again at the victims and face the reality, because it happens from time to time. You know, that when the horrible D.C. Discovery happened just this last December, or a couple of years ago, the Klopfer babies that were found in his garage and, you know, car trunk, Sometimes society will, you know, get shaken a little bit by the reality of these bodies of these children, because the bodies are evidence that they were human beings just like us. The bodies prove that. Right. And that's why they're such a scandal and why they're so easily forgotten. So we want to remind the society again of this.
Amen. Erica, in the final minute or two, I'm curious, because we haven't spoken really since the Dobbs decision. Where are we as a nation? Is our country turning around? There's a lot of pro-life states now. There's a lot that are trying to codify the culture of death within their legislation. Where are we as a nation? What do you see as next in the battle for protecting all lives?
Well, Drew, we are in the fog of war right now, and I think it's dangerous to try to say too much where we are right now, because there's so many things to be grateful for. There's so many things to be really deeply concerned about. And the shift in public opinion and how that's going to affect purple states, where it's so easy to, you know, paint this very grim picture of what a pro-life future would mean for that state. So they lock in a really radical, you know, Roe type of regime with abortion through all three trimesters. With all of that going on at the same time, and no crystal ball, it's hard to predict. What I can tell you is that there's never been a more significant moment for every one of us to get involved in this movement.
Amen.
In some way.
I got to hold it right there. Let me give this website again. It's nationaldayofremembrance.org. Please go put it on your social media, share it with others, let your presence be felt. My thanks to Eric Scheidler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League.